Hey, just a quick reminder before we start the show today that tickets are now on sale for our first live show in Brooklyn, New York on November the 19th, 7:30 p.m. We're going to be covering the movie God's Not Dead. And you can get tickets for that at goodchristianfun.com. And we hope to see you there.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
So in 1997, this guy, Joe Shapiro, starts an online dating company called MatchNet. It actually ends up functioning as a parent company for their first dating website, JDate, a website specializing in dating for Jewish singles. In the intervening 20 years, MatchNet became Spark Networks and has expanded its business ventures from only the chosen people to several different people groups looking to find their mate from within their own tribes. Former CEO Adam Berger calls this practice niche dating. And here's how he describes it. Niche dating makes people instantly feel comfortable. Imagine yourself walking into a party with 10,000 people. Great! You might be able to find the five people that you're really excited about, but that can be a little intimidating to people. What you call a niche dating site, we call a tight-knit community. People instantly feel comfortable and know they're among people who are just like themselves in many different ways. The following websites are all real functioning subsidiaries of Spark Networks. Black singles, deaf singles, interracial singles, military singles, silver singles, Adventist singles, and beginning in 2004, Christian Mingle. Since its launch, Christian Mingle has grown to over 16 million users on the site, roughly half the users of what you'd see on OkCupid or eHarmony. But what Christian Mingle boasts statistically over every other online dating site and every other app is women, more so than Bumble, Match, Coffee Meets Bagel, and yes, even Black People Meet. Christian Mingle's user base is 58% women. And so it would make sense that a cinematic translation of said dating site would be in the predominantly female-based genre of the rom-com. Enter Corbin Benson. No. Enter Corbin Burnson, an actor who your dad probably knows from L.A. Law and your mom probably knows from Psych. Burnson occupies an interesting space, a working actor who doesn't seem like he needs the Christian film industry to survive, unlike some D-list celebs and actors spiraling down Hollywood's gutters. In between keeping up a healthy resume on TV shows like American Gods and Grace and Frankie, Burnson decided back in 2010 to take a left turn into directing Christian movies, inspired by the passing of his father. Burnson says, quote, "Making films has always been my kind of way of getting closer to God. These films come out of my journey. I feel like there is a purpose to what I'm doing that goes beyond money, beyond ego, beyond fame. For this film in particular, I was talking with my business partner, thinking, why can't there be Christian movies that are faith-based, but are just genre films? Instead of the educational hit people over the head with Jesus movies every time, why not a romantic comedy? So, we watched that romantic comedy, Christian Mingle, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun. Special guest, TBA. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline. Hello.
And we're here to have a little and partake in a little good
old Christian fun.
Caroline, what is Good Christian Fun? What are we here to do? Is this a snake attack? Are we lulling people into a false sense of security and then gonna...
Good Christian Fun is a new church that Kevin and I have started.
Pastor and co-pastor sitting right before you. Who's who? We won't say.
Wait, no. We're both co-pastors, okay. I'd say. We don't need a ranking.
Okay.
Okay.
Are we here to bash the faith or people of the faith, Caroline?
No.
Are we here to preach to people and proselytize and convert people?
No.
What are we here to do?
I don't know.
This is a hard podcast to market.
Kevin just does this to remind me at the beginning of podcasts what I'm here for.
We need to be reminded because it is like the further I get into it, it's like, oh, wait, why are we doing this again?
No, we're here to talk about Christian pop culture. It's a weird world. Some of it's wonderful. Some of it's very, very, very funny, as we will find out today.
We're talking about Christian music, Christian movies, Christian video series, eventually Christian radio series, a la your Jungle Jams or your Adventures in Odyssey. We do not know how to tackle Adventures in Odyssey, which is the Simpsons of the Christian radio series world, that it's still on. There's 800 episodes.
Really? Holy smokes.
They're on their third John Avery Whittaker because they've all died.
Oh, no. Yeah. Is that the patriarch of the family?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, he's the mansplainer of the Bible.
Is he literally the Bible?
No, he's not. No, that'd be more like Salty the Singing Song. John Avery Whittaker is basically the soda shop owner. He's a kindly inventor. We'll get into it later. Okay. But
this is not what this episode is about.
It's absolutely not. This is about Christian Mingle. But before we get into that movie, Caroline, I got to ask you, how's your heart?
My heart's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Okay.
What? Kevin, how's your heart?
It's good. Well, it was good. No, I will say, I'm going to be sincere. I'm going to take a beat and be sincere. Hosting this show with you and working with you, this whole process has been a joy.
Oh, Kevin.
And that's why my heart is good.
Wow, thank you. That means a lot to me.
Yeah, this is great. This is a great working relationship. Great. We're fine. Agreed. Anyone wondering, we're fine.
Yeah, just look at this. This is proof.
This is fine. Please follow us on Twitter. So, Caroline, we're going to talk about the movie Christian Mingle.
Yes, we are.
Today, but we're not going to do it alone.
No.
We need another perspective in the room.
Someone special.
This is something we need to do because you and I, we're Christians in the state of California, legally.
Yeah.
But
we went to church together on Sunday.
We actually did. We can talk about that.
Yeah.
But you know what? We need guests who are atheists, agnostic, ex-church, people of other faiths, Jewish people even.
What?
Is that weird to have Jewish people in comedy?
I don't know how I feel about it. No, I'm kidding. They're great.
I feel funny. Our guest seems to think it's a good idea to keep talking.
Do
while
not
we're
introduce
talking
me
about.
Now.
No. Stay in the room. Please
All
don't
right,
leave.
Here we go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, he's a stand-up. You know him from his albums. You know him from his podcasts. You may know him on Twitter at Brock Wilbur. I might have just given away his name, but here it is anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Brock Wilbur. Yeah, here we go. Da,
da, da, get ready to sing, Brock.
Sing your praise to the Lord. Come on, everybody, stand up and sing, won't you? Hallelujah, give your praise to the Lord. Come on, then, I had an affair. Oh, that's weird that she sang that.
What did she say?
She sang, I had an affair.
That's weird.
We should have seen the signs.
Brock, you look sad.
I wasn't prepared.
Brock, thanks so much for joining us on the show, friend.
Good to be here.
Welcome.
Brock, what is your guestimony? What is your experience with the faith or lack of faith?
All right, let's
buckle up, kids.
Let's submarine this real fast.
Pleasantries over.
Born and raised in Salina, Kansas, which is a city of 50,000 right in the middle of Kansas. So here's my big dark Christian turn. I was raised in the church, and my dad...
Do you have a denomination you were raised in, by chance?
Mostly Methodist.
Okay.
A little Presbyterian.
We
left one church because the pastor married two men, so we couldn't go back there.
Oh, no. Yeah.
At the same... Wait.
Kevin,
you're saying
married a gay couple.
I just want to be clear, because I heard married two men. I was like, he was polygamous?
Yeah, actually, that was my first
You're saying
too.
He officiated a wedding.
But then I used context clues to be like, no, that's not what he meant.
To not be an idiot. No, I see my mistake here, Caroline. Again, it's great to work with you.
Big fan.
I see where I went wrong. I was Kevin. This happens from time to time.
Okay, go ahead.
So
you left that. Okay, so you Methodist, Pres, left one church.
In the church, like Fellowship of Christian Athletes, went to so many Promise Keepers.
FCA, that was a big
events.
Thing,
What's a Promise Keeper?
Promise Keepers was a little before your time, and what it was that they would rent out a giant football stadium for the weekend, and it would be a whole weekend of speakers, and it was just for men. No women were allowed in.
Interesting.
Very cool thing, and that everyone loved and appreciated.
Great, cool.
Yes, the cool. Yeah, absolutely. yeah, it was just a whole weekend of like sports athletes and big Christian people, and they would talk about everything from like finance to like appreciating your wife, and there would be like
This is all ages. This isn't just like high school.
Yeah, it's all ages. Stuff, so like everyone, they tried to throw like a million man march in D.C. at some point and things like that. Like
a million promise keepers.
A million promise keepers. Yeah, it went very poorly.
Promise keepers.
So many broken promises.
Yeah, there was. I do not remember any of the promises that I was asked to keep.
Oh, no.
But I was in all those things. Circa like late grade school, my dad, my mom, married in college. They started a band together that they still play in, where they dress up like the Blues Brothers and play 50s, 60s, 70s rock covers. They've been doing it for 40 years now.
I love it.
They still do it?
They still do it.
That's
it's so
very
cool.
Great.
They were big into that, and my dad got into banking and became a banker, and the start of my life was pretty okay, and then we hit a period in the middle where there's just no money, and so my mom started praying to God every night, hey, if there's a job out there for Tom Wilbur that he can get in banking that would provide for us a little better, he's such a good man. And my dad is basically the main character from It's a Wonderful Life. He's just this small town dude that wants to take care of everybody all of the time. And he's like, well, if you pay me in a chicken and a fence post, I'll lasso the moon and there's no APR on that. Just a terrible businessman, but cares for people.
I think that's a Dave Ramsey financial plan, actually.
We wait 20 fence posts, Dad.
Yeah, more like Dave Barry, am I right?
Hey, humor. Yeah.
So we get to into the grade school, and my mom's praying every night for something to happen. And one night, my mom's praying, and we get a call on the house phone, and she picks up, and this guy goes, hello, does Tom Wilbur live there? And my mom's like, in the middle of prayer, I was like, yeah, who is this? And this guy says, you don't know me. I own a chain of banks because the Lord told me to buy them, and the Lord told me that Tom Wilbur should come run my banks. I've never heard his name before.
What?
And what it turned out, this guy was, he was from Kansas City, Missouri. He had been a real estate developer for years. He was getting ready to retire, moved to Florida with his wife. They were all done with stuff. And then one night, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, buy a chain of banks. And the guy said to the angel, I don't know anything about banks. And the angel was like, shut the fuck up. Just buy the banks. God's telling you.
Saucy little angel.
Fear not. Shut the fuck up.
To buy these banks. Yeah. So the guy buys these banks, and he just keeps buying banks. So he buys this, he winds up having like 11 banks, but he doesn't know anything about banking. So they're just failing, and he owns them all across the state of Kansas.
Oh, no.
And he does this for like 2 years, and he keeps praying every night. He's like, God, why did I do this? Did I hallucinate this thing?
Yeah.
The angel appears a second time after 2 years, tells him my dad's name. He looks him up in the phone book, calls him, and offers him the job of running this bank chain. My dad takes over the job because he's like, well, if God told you to, who am I to say no to this?
Yeah.
So my dad takes over the chain of banks, and over the next like 6-7 years, takes 11 failing banks and turns it into 20 of the most successful banks in the entire country. He's on the cover of magazines for like, and the whole time this guy, bank dude who owns it, this also raises his stock in the Christian world. So he starts doing a lot of like speaking at churches around the country about this story about trusting in God.
Wait, it's Dave Ramsey.
Kind of miracle.
It is Dave Ramsey.
Kind of miracle thing, but also trusting in God.
This is like the fifth name you guys have thrown out that I have no idea who you're talking.
Okay.
Oh, we're both 45, so this is fine.
Good, cool. Combined, we're
millennials,
100.
Tune in for my voice. I will guide you through this maze.
Yeah, you'll talk about Fenty Beauty soon enough.
So this guy starts becoming sort of a Christian celebrity in this, right? He's an older gentleman, and it starts to become more of an obsession thing, to the point where the bank branches start having these boxes delivered, and in these boxes are these 30 to 40 page packets where every page is printed on a different kind of high glossy finish paper. Like it's the most elaborate thing I've ever seen, and it's basically a book about what a good Christian this guy is, that is meant to be distributed in a business so that people know about his journey and what a good Christian he is. And throughout the book, there are all these quotes that he purchased from other big Christian names, people like Billy Graham, quotes about what a good Christian he is. So he's sinking millions of dollars into...
Wait, like paid Billy Graham to write a recommendation?
To write a recommendation for him about... getting into heaven.
Who knew Graham could get bought?
Oh my gosh.
Who knew?
Oh, this is getting bad. This is going real downhill. Okay. So he's sending propaganda to all his
people. He's doing weird Christian propaganda. Yeah. And he's out in the world talking about this stuff. And around this time, his daughter, who is my dad's age, gets cancer. And this is a man with now infinity money. And instead of sending her to the world exclusive top level cancer facility treatment in the city that they lived in, he spent 2 years refusing to give her a dollar so that they could pray her cancer away, and then she died.
Oh.
And she was one of my family's closest friends.
Oh my gosh.
And we just spent the whole time being like, you have to talk to a doctor. And she's like, well, Dad says
but this,
God will forgive me of this sin of my cancer.
Oh, this is horrible.
This wasn't a Christian Scientist.
No, not a Christian Scientist. Because
we're the ones that don't believe in medicine. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Is it a Christian Scientist?
Yeah. Okay. No, that would have made sense. This is just a guy that
wanted to repeat that same prayer system.
Kind of. And the part of me was like, he wants to put 10 more pages into that propaganda book about how he prayed his daughter well. And what happens after that is that this guy decides that his what he has left to give this world is to have his name on a bunch of churches. And so what he does, as he is the owner of a bank, is he starts writing illegal loans to himself to give money to various churches on the pretense that they will name their churches after him, and maybe they also own a mini mall around them and he sees some money from that. The craziest,
I feel sick.
The craziest sort of Byzantine, I'm going to build an empire to my own name bullshit that you
is
could possibly imagine.
Is this all in Kansas still?
Yeah, it's all in Kansas.
Wow.
And my dad is checking the books one day and catches this thing of like millions and millions of dollars gone to all these people on these pretenses that, like, well, we're doing this for a good reason, and it's to build a church, various churches with my name on it, so that everyone always remembers what a good Christian I was. And so my dad approaches the guy. He's like, we got to tell the government about this. We caught you stealing millions on
was
millions.
Was your dad's relationship with him good at this point?
Oh, yeah. We were family. We were all family. We hung out every week.
Okay.
This is right when I was just leaving for college. My dad catches this. He's like, we're going to go tell the state. We're going to say that you're an old, crazy guy and that you're immediately removing yourself from the thing. We will pay back the money. No one will go to jail, but we will fix this. And the guy's like, yeah, you know what? I lost my way here. So they have a meeting of the various people that run the bank, the board, the next day, and the guy is supposed, bank guy is supposed to step down. They get to the board meeting, and this guy sits down at the end, and it's if there was ever a movie about it, just picture this long boardroom table, all these old dudes, and this old cranky man sitting at the end, and he sits down and he goes, yeah, last night, after 10 years, an angel of the Lord appeared to me again. And he said,
no.
And he points at my dad, that you have demons inside of you.
No.
And so what he did was he took my family's bank account and my grandparents' bank account and everyone in our family and locked it. He just took our money. In
what?
That moment, it's an illegal thing to do, but you have to have money to sue somebody to turn that off. So I was leaving for college, and suddenly my grandparents, my family, and everyone else just had nothing.
And the board couldn't do anything about this, I'm assuming.
They were like, well, this is the guy that owns the thing.
Is this Serial season 3?
Goodness gracious, this story.
And my dad had reached out to the government, and they were like, well, if he tries to fire you, he'll go to jail. And then my dad called them, and I was like, I just got fired. And they were like, well, we don't know what to do. So my dad was, he just came home. He didn't even have his car anymore. So he had to get a ride back to our town.
Oh, this is horrifying.
And we had just no money all of a sudden, and no one in our family had any money. And there was no way to ever see any of that money ever again. And so my dad just set about building a very small, like, savings and loan for our very small town just to help people.
Fuck.
And that's what he's done ever since. And there's never been any way to resolve the rest of that. Really? So my path with Christianity was watching this guy who was like, I am the most Christian man.
Right. I have
published
this miracle.
His own books about what a good Christian he was and bought quotes about what a good Christian guy is and how it, and he was definitely going to build the head of a pin that he could fit in through to get into heaven. Just wreck people around him because that's how pious he was, and that is a hard thing to ever come back from.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, it's like my family is still religious, wow. And it's the thing that, like, sometimes I'll be like, I don't know how. Do you not remember when Christianity really effed us, like, super hard?
Right in the butt.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like, Christianity was not there for us when that happened.
Yeah.
Well, and it seems like it did.
And as a weird like postscript to the story, my dad and my mom have been in this rock band, and my dad has promised the entire time that they've been in this rock band, he's like, one day when I'm done doing this bank thing, I'm going to start a praise band. And so a few years ago, he finally started that praise band at our church. And the weekend that he started it, he went deaf in one ear.
Oh my gosh.
And I was just like, apparently the Lord does not appreciate your rocking. Like, it's just like, he just gets smit. He gets smited no matter what he does.
Poor man.
Wow.
Thank you for telling this story.
So, Christian Mingle was pretty silly. Wow. Okay. So it was 1,000% informed by that experience. How could it not be?
And so then, is it just like, I am no belief can even come close to me because, man, what a twisted thing that happened? Or
I
how
mean,
are you feeling?
As like a freshman in college who was just going off to Chicago, the big city, and learning about the communism, like, yeah, no, God was going to die for me either way. And like, I will still go to like watch my dad play in his church band and stuff.
Yeah. We're going to go watch your dad play in his band when we're out there.
Wherever there is power, there is somebody that wants to exploit
something
that power.
Something insidious, yeah.
But Christianity has this weird thing that, like, there was no extra power from being an extra good Christian, but you shoot for it because you just need everyone to know that you're the most good. You're the best at being good.
Right.
And that's a real drive for a lot of people.
Yeah,
so that's a...
Wow, what a story.
It was a good early 20s thing to be like, I'm going to fight against God and religion. And later on, you're like, people sometimes need those things. And I understand that. But also, like, my wife was raised as a heathen San Francisco hippie. Like, her dad toured with the Grateful Dead.
Did she believe in weed and stuff?
Does she pray to the power
You've
of
never said that word out loud, have you? That was so fantastic.
No, I haven't. And I kind of shook from my voice a little.
Are you okay? Do you need a second?
You did a six in the butt joke like 5 minutes earlier, but I don't believe you've ever said the word weed before.
That's 1,000% true, by the way.
I'm mortified.
During that time, were you exposed to a lot of Christian pop culture?
Yeah, I mean, like, my favorite thing about the like the Bible business in our downtown was this spreadsheet that I'll never forget. That it was like, if you like this secular band,
yes,
this is the equivalent band that you'll find in Christianity, and it was ostensibly for like aunts. Like, your aunt will look this up. It was like,
gosh, they weren't
even
hiding
it. If he says he's into, like, Marilyn Manson, he'll love P.O.D. And you're like, no, these are not
as a way to, like, help your teenage son.
And that's still kind of, I went into a Lifeway Christian store like a month or two ago. And that is still a marketing technique.
Really? Where it's like either this, then that.
If you like the Civil Wars, then you'll like the new
DC
Jars of
Talk.
Clay.
Yeah.
It's like, they're not even trying
it's
to hide the fact.
It's time for tea and sympathy, my friend.
Yeah. Just straight up ripping it. Wow.
Some of these bands are ostensibly great. Like, a friend of mine is making a video game, and in her pitch document, she references Jars of Clay. And I was like, it's 2017. Who's selling something on the strength of Jars of Clay? What is happening?
Not a bad band. We just did it.
Not a bad band. It's okay. As we discussed in our previous episode.
I can confirm
episode.
That.
My favorite all of them is MXPX still.
That was your favorite Christian band?
Because they started as a Christian band, and then they just got into the pop punk, and they have an album called Going the Way of the Buffalo. And it turns out that album they titled because a fan wrote to them was like,
what?
You used to be Christians and now you're going the way of the buffalo. So they did.
Is that a phrase?
A callback to Jesus. Like, yeah, there's just a buffalo on the cover. You know, like Jesus. Jesus loved bison, little known fact.
Yeah.
This
well,
I know.
I guess he didn't if they're not going
this
the way
I
of the buffalo.
Know.
For the bison told me so.
Oh my God.
Everybody's got a water buffalo.
Oh, see, now that connects. That actually makes sense to me. Everyone's got a water
You're
bison,
fast
too.
And mine is low.
Yeah, so MXPX was your jam back in the day.
I mean, DC Talk and Jars of Clay are actually good bands, but, like, the idea of a Christian band, like, this was also the same time that Creed had first come out, and my dad was like, here's a Pearl Jam that won't send you to hell. And I'm like, okay.
That's well. Pearl Jam?
Creed was?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean.
Their first album is a flawless Pearl Jam
clean.
Tribute album.
I mean, do you think Scott Stapp is going for an Eddie Vedder thing in his voice?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm thinking about it.
There's something like so sweet about parents wanting to still let their kids listen to rock bands, you know, but just wanting to like take care of them while they do it.
I remember the big, the big exchange when I was growing up was. And I was reminded of it because they just had an anniversary of this movie recently in town. Is I wanted to go see and get the soundtrack of Josie and the Pussycats.
Yes.
Ooh, Kevin.
And I was like,
far too sexy.
No, the songs are good. And then my mom
the
was like,
songs are good.
I don't know. I think she probably thought I'd get too turned on or something. I don't know. I don't know what the thought was behind it. This was 2001 or two, whenever it came out. So instead of that, I got the Super Chick album.
No, you didn't.
Karaoke Superstar, all the boys in the band with the Valentine from Barlow Girl. So that was,
well,
that was the
little
switch.
Did mom know that it was a way hotter album at the end of the day.
And I got super horny from that. Just kidding.
As two very red men, we shouldn't just discuss horniness.
No. Although I will say, pretty one of the songs, men. The chorus is, everyone wants a Valentine from a Barlow Girl. Boys think they're the bomb because they remind them of their mom.
Yeah.
So maybe mom was like,
that was exactly
see,
the
I
tone that requires.
Well, it's not the first time you said that. I think you mentioned that in the Fireproof episode.
Kevin, I don't know if you noticed, but you say this like every episode.
You think about that lyric a lot.
It's what I would say when I wake up in the morning. Remind me of their mom.
Also, along with that like spreadsheet of things, my friend wrote a book about this. For the Boss Fight book series, which is a collection of books about different video games, he wrote about Bible Adventures, which is the like Super Nintendo game that Christians were sold as like, you don't want to give your nephew this game where he's shooting people. So the game is like set on Noah's Ark.
Oh boy.
And it is literally the game Wolfenstein 3D, but all the Nazis are replaced with sheep that you have to make go to sleep with shots from your cross. It's just Wolfenstein 3D, but
I'm sorry,
the
wait,
gun
you
and
wave
the Nazis,
a cross wand at them and they go to sleep?
They go to sleep. But it's the exact same maps of Wolfenstein 3D.
Counting yourself.
And so he wrote an entire book about this company that was basically hired to be like, what if we just take games and just replace everything with something
a non-violent alternative.
And they did that for like a decade. And the
also,
people that worked there were like, even like the people that were secular were like, I think what we're doing is wrong. In fact, the secular people were usually the first to be like, this feels exploitative and bad.
What a loss, too. Noah's Ark. Like, I feel like there's so many better scenes you could have taken from Bible.
Yeah, you could go like an Animal Crossing route with it. You could go.
Yeah.
To be fair, had they have invented Animal Crossing instead?
They could have, is what I'm saying. That could have been the first
Crossing
one.
Animal Crossing is Christian.
Is it?
Yeah, a big part of that is witnessing door to door.
Oh, my God.
I loved Animal Crossing. I played it so much.
But guys, our topic today.
Okay, good.
It's Christian.
You're like locked and loaded.
Save us. Our topic today is. Actually, are you ready to dive in?
Yeah. No, there's a song. So short.
Just a tip. We'll get to him.
Yeah.
We'll get to I had tickets to a Stephen Curtis Chapman concert.
Oh, yeah.
A couple weeks ago.
That sounds nice.
I could not
I
go.
I would go to that.
You
yeah, it was
go?
In Camarillo. Yeah, I was dog sitting, so I couldn't go.
I would go see Stephen Curtis. Yeah, yeah. That sounds nice.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably great. You probably, you know, did a little acoustic set, probably hugged people afterwards.
You could have gotten hugged by him.
The movie today is Christian Mingle,
yes.
Which came out in the year 2014.
Recently.
Yeah. Within the last 5 years.
It's nice to have something that's been like in my recent lifetime that we've talked about.
Yeah, I guess this is the...
Like I've seen commercials for this.
Yeah, it's not
stuff.
The first thing that's like at least 10 years old.
Yeah.
So but, Christian Mingle.
This is annoyingly recent.
Surprisingly
it's
recent.
Interestingly
you watch
recent.
It.
So here's the deal. It was released, I think it was released in theaters actually on October 10th, which this comes out one day after on October 11th. And guys, Lacey Chabert, well, today we're recording, a little peek behind the podcast curtain, on October 3rd, which is Mean Girls Day. This episode comes out on October 11th, which is Lindsay Lohan's birthday, and Parent Trap. So Caroline's shrugging like, who cares? I'm just saying the numbers connect, man.
It's all connected. Four different accents in one bit.
There's like so many things we could talk about.
Right. Numbers are cool, guys.
But let's start with the fact that this made $25,000 in the box office.
Did it really?
Yeah. Oh, that was its wow. box office poll.
Oh, man.
I mean,
I don't know what the budget is, though. So
that's true.
Who knows?
Lacey couldn't can't find be it. Cheap. She's got some fame, but two, she does a lot of these movies.
She does. She's done 8 Hallmark movies.
Is Look, this a Hallmark movie?
No. Oh.
When Corbin approaches you, I think we can all refer to him by first name.
Corby.
Now,
yeah. Corbin. Yeah, just Corbin around today. Not much.
I call him Crimpin when I like to razz him.
Crumpin. Crumpin Benson. Burnson.
This is some good Christian fun.
Yay!
Oh, my God.
He gets it. Points. Yeah. So this is a movie. My only experience with it, because this doesn't really play upon any nostalgia points for me, other than I did try to watch it with a friend of mine a couple years ago, and I was making fun of it too much, so we shut it off because she got mad at me.
It's annoying.
Sorry, you were making fun of it too much?
Oh, you talking incessantly for the movie?
Come on, man. Never. During this movie, I wouldn't do it during, you know, a masterpiece.
Whose
like
delicate sensibilities did you offend yeah. by mocking this?
What? No, you're great to work with. We're still friends.
Yeah, we're doing good.
No, I actually think she might be listening to this, so shouts out to her. Shouts out to her.
Yeah.
I think she might come to our show in Brooklyn.
Yeah. So. Oh, the friend, not Chelsea.
I think, no, oh, Chelsea. Okay.
Corbs.
Corbs
will be there.
Yeah, Corbs is a friend. No, the friend. So that's the only, and so we shut it off halfway through because she said, this isn't fun anymore. Or something like, I might be misremembering details, but I just remember we tried to do the thing like, let's watch a bad movie. And then we got bummed out.
The space that you occupy on the comedy spectrum, imagining you offending somebody is so offensive to me.
No, I wasn't like, hey, look at my D. Oh, Christian mingle this. It wasn't like that.
I know.
That's not a joke.
Being like, hey, every time Corbin's on screen, he's not actually fixing the bike, he's just shaking a bike because he didn't learn how to fix the bike. And then being like, this is attacking my religion.
Shaking the bike. Yeah. She goes to the bike repairman so often.
Yeah, that's her.
He never fixes
small
anything.
Detail.
He just shakes
it's just
the
really
bike.
Bothered
well,
me.
Well, originally, too, I read this interview with Corbs, and he said that it was initially she was going to take the train every day, and it was set in Chicago. So the whole bike repair thing was like a new invention due to budgetary
reasons. Was he going
to
be the train captain?
Like, renting an L train costs more than this movie.
Yeah.
I like the idea of him being like the friendly conductor. Just keeps like,
I'm just here to fix the train.
All aboard.
Clink, clink, clink.
Well, and
here's
get
my coal steam. What's coal steam?
It's what runs the train.
That's my favorite pastor, is Joel Colstein. Now, with that in mind,
it's nice that Brock is here to laugh at you.
And it feels good, but it is great to work with you.
My childhood is trauma. Oh,
no. Tee-hee. Let's watch the trailer for this movie to maybe give ourselves and the listeners a better sense of what we're dealing with here. Yay. Also, let's just in the room and listeners at home, let's keep track of how many record scratches there are in this trailer.
You're kidding. Oh, my God. I'm so happy.
There might be more than one.
30 years old and only a couple of lousy short-term relationships under my belt. But it wasn't for lack of trying. I dated.
The guy couldn't keep eye contact with me for 10 seconds.
Babe, if you're not careful, you're going to be the last one standing.
Old friend.
I know.
Happy New Year, Miss Hayden.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Oh, boy.
I think it's the guy you're picking to go out with. Maybe you're knocking on one door hoping another will open.
Mm. Thank you, Oprah.
Don't call me Oprah.
You're single and you're looking for a meaningful relationship.
It turns into a horror movie.
Don't call me Oprah.
At christianmingle.com.
Means telling a big lie.
You're right, this is wrong. This is wrong.
What's wrong?
No.
Gwyneth Hayden.
This is weird, isn't it? It's a weird way to meet somebody.
It's a very strange new world.
But the stuff between never really changes.
Damn. Good
joy. Our love for the Lord.
Gotta love him.
Number one.
Smooching.
It's a little like out of Leave It to Beaver, but you guys, he was so charming.
This is a guy you met online!
I know, but it's not like that.
This can only end
like what?
Sweetie, you're desperate and you're grasping at straws.
So mean.
You're not Christian.
When is the last time you stepped into a church?
Last month.
You went to church last month.
Okay, so it was a wedding.
She was searching for.
We're not going back to 1950, sweetie. We are going to church.
What am I doing?
But found something more.
There was something about it all, though. Everyone seemed so happy.
Is it just me, or have you always dressed like my grandma?
There is something not genuine going on there. You are just being blinded by love.
You seem lost.
You've seen Lost. It's a good show.
What does that even mean?
I just wish that you hadn't lied.
Lying. Deception.
Stephen Tobolowsky.
Wanted to say thank you for opening my eyes, my heart, to all of this. For the first time, I have this sense of purpose in my life.
Praise God.
It was the whole movie!
Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for bringing Paul and I together. You really did good. Thank you.
I have never prayed over coffee before.
Give me water.
Why?
So there was two.
Hey, movie fans. Valerie here with a...
We don't need that.
Well, they managed to get all three jokes into that trailer.
They did the entire movie in order. I've never seen a trailer that's just in order. Like, no one bothered to rearrange the scenes.
They just told the editor, like, can you just cut out chunks here and there and make it...
It even includes the last scene of the movie.
Yeah, it was more of a Steven Soderbergh re-edit of a movie than an actual trailer for
movie. Okay.
But that's the basic gist of it.
In the gist is the entirety of the film. Yeah. Actually, I wish I would have watched this 2-minute version.
Yeah, that would have been easier.
Also, why did they make the longest part of that trailer the scene with her and her friend at the office doing
a
weird banter?
Right?
Don't call me Oprah. Girlfriend, you need to do this.
I have a black friend.
Maybe it wasn't. I think it might have been a diversity poll for the trailer.
I mean,
this is the whitest movie.
Well,
the
arrangement of the friends that she meets with at the start are the exact same diversity arrangement of all the friends in
Friends?
Saved.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
There's an Asian girl in Saved. Interesting.
Oh,
and then the rest are white.
Yeah.
And then one of
they're such mean friends. They call her desperate.
They're
they
not
say
good.
And then they never come back.
Yeah, they're not
they
really
all conference
there.
Call at one point, which I found to be a little.
Sorry,
like,
let's do this in order.
Yeah.
there's
oh
so
my
many
gosh,
things.
I know. Okay. Well, she lives in downtown LA in this movie, like
are
in the
you
arts
sure?
district. Yes, because
do
when you
specify?
See her,
they do.
I know. They say LA.
Yes, they do say L.A.
They do? Okay.
They do. And then they're walking around. And
which is funny because there's such a lack. Like, they all just look like some South Dakota-ass people in this movie that was shocking
Welcome
to me.
Welcome to Skitter's Row. That's not how it's said. Yeah, it's her and the dude walk around with coffee cups just laughing about how they're gentrifying the neighborhood. And he's like, I think this part of town is funky.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll kill you.
And it's like, it has a laundromat, you know?
Well, I mean, people are getting haircuts at 10 o'clock at night, to be fair.
It just really, I don't know, that irked me a lot. Because, like, her
I
style
know he has a specific
it.
Name because his name has the worst backstory I've ever seen in a movie. But every time I see him, instead of Gravy, I call him Land's End.
This is Patagonia.
I call him not Topher Grace because he's not Topher Grace.
Topher Ungraceful,
he's
more like.
Ungrace.
Topher Lack of Grace.
Full of Grace.
Topher Needs Grace.
Topher Full of Grace. That's our new religion.
So if you don't know LA, there's the downtown arts district. It's where like all the funky people live. And her funkiest thing is like her tights, you know? And so otherwise she's so bland and like he's so bland. I don't know. They're just like, get the style cues right.
Let us do it from the start. The movie opens with a blind date with her and a dude. And the dude keeps talking about his butthole, the effect that cheese has on his butthole.
Clogs the pipes.
And looking at other chicks.
Oh, yeah, cheese will get in my
butthole. And she's talking about wine the whole time.
And let's be clear, Lacey, and you know, Lacey Chabert is a beautiful young woman. Who could he possibly be looking at?
and that is what is so distracting about the scene, because she is doing a full boobs on parade thing that takes up most of the framing of the shot. And what he is looking at is
so far away.
That's
not the sort of thing
that.
I don't notice.
Or maybe he wants, you know,
that's
a modest girl.
That's not the sort of thing I don't notice.
No, I meant... You
horny
know
Kevin.
I meant. No! I've never
Her
been...
Barlow girls were out.
That's not what they're called. We cannot refer to breasts on this podcast as Barlow
this
girls.
This is getting so dirty over here.
You know,
sorry,
what?
Jars of clay, waka waka.
No.
let's backtrack it a little bit to the opening VO.
We all have stories to tell, our own paths to faith in Christ. Some are kookier than others, like finding Jesus in a piece of driftwood. Yeah, more on that in a second.
Little teaser.
Ooh, can't wait.
I didn't see it coming. I thought I was looking for a guy to stick a ring on my finger. My
word that better.
And along the way, something wonderful happened. I found him. That's him, the capital
H.
Fun.
So it's a VO over clouds that includes something that only works in the printed word, so they have to specify capitalization. Which was that was when I first started emailing you guys, and I was like, come on, what are we doing?
Come on, guys, why did you make me do this? Well, I will say, to the notion of starting with a voiceover and you're not establishing any context besides clouds, it is like a Sunset Boulevard or American Beauty situation where it's like, is she dead? Is this like,
that was
my former life.
And you and I are both Sorkin fans. We're willing to look past this.
Sure.
We get it.
We're willing to look past a myriad of things, obviously.
If Sorkin straight up made this movie, this exact movie.
Sorkin would never write a movie about a social website.
Okay, but he would never do that. Would you guys love it?
If you had invented Christian Mingle, you would have invented Christian Mingle.
There's two of me. We're both 6'5", and we're in love. It's just both Billy Eichner.
Billy Eichner. That one I know.
Yes. So the basic premise
you're my new favorite.
What? I lost favorites? No, it's fine. She deserves it. She deserves everything.
You come with so much baggage, Kevin.
Okay, yeah, so Lacey wants to fall in love. She's gone on one bad date, so things are getting desperate.
It was a very bad date,
though. It was very bad.
Can we agree on what her age is?
32?
At the filming of this, it was like 31 or 2. Fun fact, she was engaged and got married during the filming of this movie.
Shut up, no way.
So by the time she started, she was engaged.
And she found love?
With 3 days left, she was married. So like,
via
she was
Christian
already
Mingle.
She was engaged before the
That's
shooting
a better
started.
Movie than this movie.
That is a good movie.
Yeah. So.
I did a sellout role, and in the process of doing so.
I mean, she's gone on record as being a person of faith, so it's not a sellout role. Maybe it is like...
Do you guys think Lacey is the best actor in this movie? I thought she was like really good.
Yeah, I think
for
she's
the
good.
Role.
Yeah, she's totally good.
The stuff she's given.
She's not bad. The thing is, like, there are actors in this movie. Like, so the last movie we'd done this show was a movie made 10 years prior to the making of this movie, Fireproof. That was 2004.
Oh, you guys did Fireproof.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fun.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Oh, I look forward to listening to this one. Okay.
Then do you recognize Catherine in this movie?
Yes.
Okay. Catherine, whose name... eludes me, the actress's name.
Erin Bethea.
Erin Bethea, I have a fun anecdote to tell you about that I literally cannot say on mic about her in a possible mirroring of real life circumstance
of
gosh. Fireproof.
Listeners, check my Twitter later. I'll tweet it all out.
So yeah, I think Lacey Chabert is good in this movie.
She's
great. This is a movie with, there's a few actors in it. Stephen Tobolowsky is an actor. Corbin Burnson is an actor. Lacey Chabert is an actor. So we're already stacking the deck. And that guy who plays Blandy, make Wonder Bread, white guy,
Lanzin.
Gravy.
Yeah.
Not
Gravy Lanzin.
He's like a recurring, or he's a regular on Blind Spot now. So there's like actors. Whereas,
Blind Spot?
Bland, yeah, he stars in Blind Spot.
I started to make the sound, and then you beat me.
So already, like, well, I'll start with this question for two people who've seen it before. Is this a better made movie than Fireproof?
Oh, yeah.
This is a competent film. Mm-hmm. The concept of the website movie about this thing that is based on the premise that the central character is not Christian is one of the craziest conceits I could come up with. Like, yeah, we're going to do a farmers only, but what if she's never even seen a tractor?
Yeah, what because this whole movie here? Is straight up a commercial for Christian Mingle, but
also for Christianity itself.
Yeah,
which is
but
such
also
a weird
they're
leap.
Saying, like, by the way, there might be people on this website that aren't actually Christians. And not a good commercial.
And you should have a weird distrust of them and your family will have this weird second sense that there's
something. Yeah, make sure you double check and take them to Mexico and do this weird trial by fire.
Everything here is such a disaster. And the third act is the most racist thing I've ever seen.
Oh,
there's so much.
A travesty.
But it is a low budget direct to DVD level thing that actually got a feature release. And it's surprisingly good for what it is.
Yeah, I think on a production level, yeah. Just like on a basic, it is on par. And I don't mean this in a condescending way, mm-hmm. but like with your Hallmarks and Lifetime movies. Hallmark
is,
and Lifetime.
It is lit better. It is a sure. functional film yeah. that never breaks a 180 line. Like,
yeah.
There's so many things I was like, hey, Corbin, you're better than a bunch of kids I went to film school with. That's the best I can say about this. But I also know you were just doing a film for under 30 grand, probably.
Probably. And it is fun. There's certain that if you want to pick it apart, you can be like, well, you know. When Chabert first, or Gwyneth, her character's name, when she first goes to her office, she does make like three immediate left turns to get to her office where it's like, I think you went in a circle.
As somebody familiar with the walk and talk, I knew you would notice that.
That's so funny.
I didn't even write it down because I was like, Kevin has yeah, this. Yeah, yeah, Kevin yeah. has this.
But so on a production level, it's like, you know, you can talk about that and nitpick it, but I think we can all agree, like, on a basic competence level, it's fine, and it's what it needs to be. It's not like
made.
It's fine. It's good enough that there's no joy to be taken from making fun of that thing.
Sure. So I think
there's so much joy to be taken from the thesis of so much of it, which is that, like, by minute five, I was shouting to my wife in the other room, like, hey, this woman's 27, but she's worried she's going to die alone, and all of her friends are making fun of her for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and like pushing her and urging her toward it. That's the other thing. I was like, I understand Christians feeling this pressure to be married or whatever, but if she's not even Christian, like, why? Yes. Why is she? I know non-Christians want to be married, but just like, why does she feel so like borne down and pressured by this?
So that is my entire thesis on this film, is that Corbin Bernstein wrote and I read the same interview where he talks about
we just saw the Corbin Bernstein effect.
Yeah, the Bernstein.
Yeah,
the Bernstein.
Corbin Bernstein effect.
Yeah.
Google it.
Okay.
Oh, what a fun joke we have just played on no one. This entire movie is written by an old guy about the perspective of insanely young people having the fears of old people. So, like, this chick gets yeah. to her first date with a dude, and they spend most of their time talking about, like, what's the deal with apps these days? And also, kids are in the yard. And you're like, who is this for? It's ostensibly aimed at a youthful audience, but it's about the fears of a 60-plus-year-old man and the world that has changed around him. And it's just voiced through these younger people that don't bother to try to change anything. And the disconnect in it is there from start to finish, where it's like, wow, this is what Clint Eastwood would write as a Christian dating film.
Funny.
Like,
that is one commonality I think you can draw between this and The Social Network, is that it's two very older men of an older generation.
With a lot of distrust for the internet.
Fear of the internet, I would go as far as to say.
I was at a friend's wedding recently, and like, there was somebody at the table next to us who was like, they met on the internet, what are they going to tell their kids? And that couple was in their 60s, and I was like,
yeah,
I didn't get the same sense that there was a huge fear of the internet or whatever. It seems like pretty pro at the end of this website, and they have this conversation that's like, I feel like a lot of people have on their Tinder dates or whatever. Well, like, it's so weird that
there's a
met,
yeah, there's a lot
know,
of acknowledged stigma,
yeah, you know,
yeah,
throughout, like, all the characters, like, oh, the internet,
yeah, but they ultimately met through it, and yeah. it's not like crazy.
There's also this weird, like, a beta male, like, status thing that happens. Out, where, like, every dude in this movie spends his entire role apologizing, and he, like, shows up to the first date already being like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry I didn't get this thing, like, I'm so sorry I don't understand, I'm so sorry about the app, I'm so sorry about who I am, like, it's just this constant stream of apologies. And I was like, why is this so weird? And then I noticed that the boss in the office does it too, and I was like,
oh, really?
Oh, in Christian world, no one can be an asshole in a movie. So, like,
yeah,
so it's easier to make them bumbling, you're
you
saying?
Can be bumbling,
even the,
or
like villains
yes.
can't be villainous.
The worst guy in the movie is the guy from the first date who talks about cheese's effect on his butthole.
Yeah, like, that's the nastiest, because,
but, like, she's supposed, like, any other
well,
movie,
her mom is supposed to be like a really bad person, but even
exactly.
she is such like this milquetoast
Morgan
villain.
Fairchild,
yeah, the weirdest use of Morgan Fairchild.
The mom is, Morgan Fairchild is weird. The boss would any other place, like, he in his first scene keeps demanding coffee from the black worker.
Yeah, from who's clearly not an assistant
for it.
Yeah.
So there's that weird disconnect. Is like, okay, so no one here can be like actually bad, and it's that same sort of disconnect that happens in the third scene when she finally winds up back home, and instead of opening a bottle of wine because she's lonely, as would happen in any other genre rom-com, she's like, a cookie? just starts chowing down on
cookies. Cookies are like her vice. Yeah, it's
and,
so right.
And this is where we have to get into the fact that the character is an ad executive who keeps sitting at a table facing away from a television so she can turn back towards the television to yell at ads about the mistakes that they have made. And every ad on this TV has clearly been shot on somebody's iPhone. Like, that's the little, and she's just like, those.
Stop it! Stop being poor!
That one made me laugh. Stop being poor. I like the one. Okay, well, to your point, though, I was surprised and, like, I don't know, pleasantly surprised that she and the guy kiss.
Yes.
Like, I was like,
shocked.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like, especially.
You thought there'd be kissing devils where it's their real spouses, a la Fireproof?
Yeah, or they wouldn't kiss until way later. But they, like, kiss you on their, like, second date or something. And so I was like, ooh, that is kind of pushing the envelope a little bit for Christian movies. And yeah, the fact that they're, like, cuddling at the end of the movie.
At the end,
alone.
It's very intimate.
Yeah, in a room together. They're
no
not married.
No accountability whatsoever. Yeah.
So I thought that was, like, really zesty.
Promise rings are off.
That's your podcast, Kevin.
Promise rings are
promise
off.
Rings are
promise
off.
Rings are off.
Yes, you know what? I'm not going to keep them. Promise rings are off.
To further the plot, this woman goes out on a date. The date goes poorly. She hangs out with all of her friends. Is like, I'm going to be the last one among this friend group that gets married. And they're like, yeah, you actually are. And then she goes home. She does this. We see part of her life, which her job, which takes up a stupid amount of this movie.
Yeah, so much of this movie.
Is dealing with a boss who thinks that he's a boat captain.
He's a little sailor.
But
and
also
they have like
a
nautical themed marketing firm.
It's called Maritime Advertising.
Thank you. Yes.
and so yeah, this movie.
You're a crook, Captain Hook.
Judge, won't you throw the book at the pirate? But it feels like, yeah, you could cut all the work stuff. Jay Peterman, John Hurley, John O'Hurley from Seinfeld shows up and they're like shilling. I don't want to talk about any of that stuff.
Yeah, there's
especially because we're a little long. So
well, yeah, and it is fascinating because when you make the choice to do this as a non-secular film, it is to imply that everything that you're discussing is a religious film, and that's when you get into these parts with it, like for 20 minutes at a time, you're like, what is this trying to say about Jesus? I don't
Yeah, it's
get
supposed
it.
To be this like faith allegory.
I think
we're learning to trust it.
Or and
learning
I guess
to regrow hair.
Yeah.
I guess it feeds into her overall arc of spoilers. By the end of it, she does kind of self-actualize and become the teacher that she always wanted to be. And move to Mexico to do
that
so.
She wanted to do that.
But it was like
this is the speed we're doing this. Okay.
Yeah. Oh no! I mean no. We got stuff.
Let's
to
go
talk
to the
about.
First date with Blandman.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so they meet for coffee.
Click, meet, marry, die, done. It's a very strange new world.
But the stuff between never really changes.
Listen to music,
family, joy, our love for the Lord.
Yeah, I gotta love him, the Lord.
So it's horror film aesthetics.
Well, there's nothing I love more than, and I'm sure composers are just versed in theory, and I've seen so many movies. There's nothing I love more than lazy rom-com score writing, where it's like plucky strings and like, like the Nancy Myers, or even like the Ally McBeal aesthetic. I remember in that show a lot, where it's just like, oh, the fish is doing something wacky.
Silly music.
And that really kind of some
fish is doing something wacky.
Yeah.
She orders coffee black and he says, ooh, uncomplicated and a believer. I like that.
It's just the worst
coffee
it's
order.
The worst line.
It's so bad. So he's coming in. I think he's wearing some like North Face vest, plaid shirt.
Land's End.
Land's End.
Now, his dream is to be
late.
A rocker.
Yeah. He at one point jokes about wanting to be a rocker. I don't know. But then he settled down, and I don't know what his job is now, but I couldn't catch that.
Oh, God. We didn't figure that.
He says
he's just at the church.
He works
a missionary?
At the church?
Is it sorry, pine pajamas or a coffin?
Yeah, maybe again? His parents are just bankrolling him to do their Mexico mission.
This is back to that thing about like being written by an old guy. She says, what a weird new world about apps.
Yeah, my God.
Been around
what
a long
is
time.
Happening?
Yeah, it's and you know what? Corbin, I don't think is like, and just the little I researched for this, he doesn't seem like an insane guy. He doesn't seem like someone who would scare me if we like started talking at a party. Even though his aesthetic in this movie as the character who fixes the bike was a little, Katy Perry's father.
Oh, yeah.
Rock Hudson. What's his name? It's not Rock Hudson.
Rock Budson.
Rock Budson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they have this date, and then they rip off the joke from the parent Meet the Parents, where she does a bad prayer, but she does it before the coffee. And so he's like, what a weirdo. But he kind of plays along with it.
I had forgotten that that was a Meet the Parents.
That was kind of cute. Yeah, they did that twice in this movie. She does a fake prayer here. She does a fake prayer at the family dinner.
Oh, it's steak and cake.
Yeah, it's steak and cake.
So, you know what? I want to focus on something positive in this movie. Because I think there is something here.
You're right. This was not that far off. This is not fireproof distance from greatness.
Right. I think there's so little of redeeming value. Because one thing I heard... from some rebukers of this podcast. By the way, none of our listeners, none of the people on the internet. But one of the things I heard is like, yeah, Fireproof's kind of bad, but it's got some good stuff in it. And I would disagree and say, I think it has problematic, regressive stuff in
it. Yeah, yeah.
Now, the thing in this movie that I think...
I'm just so happy to be in a room to see your eyebrows again. This makes me so happy.
The thing in this movie that I think might be worth talking about is... the underlying idea of, like, we're playing with these rom-com tropes. Someone's pretending to be someone that they're not. And then they find out later. And then there's, like, fake obstacles and get back together. Whatever. But one thing that is particular to this movie is the idea of self-expression and people not dictating how exactly it is you, like, connect with God or connect with, like, your identity in that. Because for Paul Wood's family, which that's his name, the male lead, Mr. Wonderbread, Topher Grace, they are very Leave It to Beaver 50s. They wear suits to church. Everything is beige. They go to Steak and Cake, which seems like a very unviable business model for a restaurant. It's predicated on, I want to eat a whole cake.
It's my favorite joke you've ever done.
And so there's that. And then Chabert, you know, they lose him, so we can get back to this. But then there's the what I'll call the I'm reading the baby books montage that seems to happen in every Judd Apatow movie. Where the person gets their life together after they're not together with whoever the person is, like their other romantic lead in the movie.
Well played,
and
sir.
I'm having trouble following your point.
Well, one of the things that happens is she goes to a black church.
Judd Apatow is a director.
No. Shut up. Yeah, I know that
Shut
one.
Up. Hey, come on, man. She goes to a black church, and the music's better, even though half the singers there don't seem to be mic'd or have
you
anything.
You never see a person's mouth move because they didn't know that they could get the rights to a Christ song. I lost it.
Wait, so you're saying this is different than the normal romance genre? How?
In that... Because she turns it around on him.
Uh-huh.
And she kind of... Actually,
I agree on this entirely.
Well, okay.
Says, like, you should have been the one that changed this whole time?
Like this church I've been going to. Totally chill and laid back. Does that make it any less Christian than the one you go to? No, it can't. But it does make it more me. And it doesn't make it right or wrong, but it's the way I can relate to God.
Chill and laid back. Not exactly how I would describe you, but
11011.
Rude.
A lot of pauses.
I don't know if Kelly is on your path.
Okay, anyway, we don't have to watch the whole thing.
Thank you. That was the best scene in the entire film. I'm really glad that you grabbed it.
Well, I feel like that's one thing where she says, your expression of God is not mine, but that doesn't make mine incorrect or yours incorrect.
Oh, interesting.
I feel like that's the only...
I thought that was profound for this movie?
I think that is an interesting idea.
To catch everyone up, she pretends to be a Christian. She dates into the family. They wind up going on dates that involve going to Bible readings with his friends and family.
Bible study, which
it's around Lemonade, but it also has that sitcom trope of like, you've got to meet all my exes before you start dating me. And when she gets to the part that she's like, okay, you have this dishonesty where she's...
Because he's with Kelly now, the single
one. Oh, that person wasn't just there when you turned around. You have a decade of like laying the groundwork for this and there was nothing I could do to interact with that. But also like she raises the question... or he even like asks the question back, which is such a good reverse religious question of like, wait, how can I be religious but not have a stick up my own butt the whole time? And like, she's like, yeah, you could just like be a person and do this. He's like, that's not what I think religion is.
This is reminding me of another moment in the movie that I kind of appreciated where she was being real again and she's, you know, they're having this confrontation about how I know I'm not a Christian. I'm not the type of Christian you want, basically. But
she is a Christian.
She is. That's the thing. That's another thing we'll have to get into. But
the
like
definition of Christianity.
Yeah, or like the level of Christianity. Yeah. And she's kind of like, well, but I like you, and you like me. Isn't that not enough? And he eventually is just like, no.
Which is a bummer.
It's terrible.
Because yeah, this happens. This is when
and this movie proves that can't happen, because she doesn't get to be with him until she has achieved this like level of Christianity
that his parents made up.
Yeah, that's a bad message. Like, it would have been better if, I don't know, like just in this moment in his journey, he was like, you know what, you're right. And like they got together, but it wasn't until like she moved on and, you know, whatever.
Because I got to say, just having known a lot of Christian men in my life, that's the dream.
What?
Is,
oh my God, Kevin.
No, not for me. But I'm saying for other people I've known. I knew one guy who did it, where it's like, you date a non-believer, and then you take her hand and take her on a sweet journey to Christ.
Flirt
and
to convert.
And now
Sweet Journey of Christ is a better podcast name, too.
Sweet Journey of Christ. Oh, well, we got the jingle.
Well.
But that is a thing. And, you know, whether that, like, feeds into a, you know, bad and toxic like savior complex that men and some women can get sometimes, like TBD. But it is so funny that he's like, "Well, no, I can't work with this at all. I gotta quit."
Yeah,
and that's when he kicks her out of Mexico.
Like, washes his hands of her.
Kicks her out of Mexico.
Oh my gosh!
I will say, like, going off of that, the way, according to the interviews, the way Corbin originally conceived the character, she wasn't any kind of Christian. In this, she's like, oh yeah, I kind of go to church, I was baptized, whatever.
Yeah, she's like, I believe in God.
So
and, yeah.
Originally, Corbin's script was, she's an atheist. And then Christian Mingle said, no, she needs to be kind of a Christian. Because we don't want the idea.
I agree.
That an atheist,
because I think that happens to most more people. Like, people that were like, I was raised by a Christian family. And then no one ever encouraged it.
Yeah,
fine. That it's actually a more relatable story. I get that. That's fine.
So, but it is interesting. I guess they wanted to avoid the appearance of like, well, you know, you can just say you want and come on here.
Wolves in sheep's digital clothing.
Well, and there are, and I don't encourage people to Google these, but there are some pretty messed up stories from among other sites, Christian Mingle and people like catfishing, and then very gnarly stuff going down. So,
she joins Christian Mingle, gets matched with one guy, goes on a date with one guy. This movie lacked the like 17,000 other matches she would get.
She also, in our
like,
history, has done 3 short-term relationships. So it's definitely like this idea of like, she's still a virgin. So there's
still
this Christian ideal thing happening.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and she does.
She doesn't drink.
Wait, she said she doesn't drink?
Yeah.
Just in the movie, from watching her, you never see her drink.
Well, they're always drinking. They're always sipping on lattes.
Latte. They love coffee.
Some Mexican
not
hot chocolate.
Not that smelly
Can we
coffee,
talk
though.
About their other two dates, though? Because the second date, they go to sushi.
Sushi.
And he doesn't know what sushi is like, well, at all,
and that feels like a very 80s thing.
Yes,
right?
Of being like, what do I do with the new thing? Whoa, like sushi is. He stabs it with a chopstick.
That anyone in LA after the year 2005 doesn't know what sushi is.
Not even like a conception of what it. Like, he looks gobsmacked when he sees it. He's like, what the. Well, it's no chili cheese dog.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Caroline.
Like, what?
Let's see.
So frustrating.
I guess I'm just more of a chili cheese dog kind of guy.
Okay, this brings me to my point that
you always have these so accessible.
Overprepared.
That all men in Christian movies are actually like maybe 2 8-year-olds stacked in a trench coat, because
you've been visited.
This guy's personality is literally like Tom Hanks in Big, like a young man and suddenly grew an old man. Like, he's, I don't know, he listens to his mommy, he calls her mama.
Mama and Papa gets thrown around.
He only gives
kisses. I was just looking for pinball.
He wants to be a rock star. He only likes chili cheese dogs.
He sleeps in a race car. He's always sipping on juice boxes.
He takes her to Bible study for third date. I know that's little one, but now I think we should talk about that one. Can you play the intro to introducing his Bible study friends?
So, all right, here's the clip from meeting the friends at
Bible
study.
So she's walking into the living room.
There you are.
I thought you got lost.
No, bland.
No, here
I am. Oh, God.
You look great. Come in. Meet everybody.
Oh, no.
Everyone, this is Gwyneth. And whatever you do, don't call her Gwynny.
Okay, let's see. First, that's Jimmy and Jesse McKenzie. They're happy newlyweds. Met on Mingle. Turn me on to it. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And this is their beautiful home.
Can I stop it right there real quick?
Yeah.
We're, Caroline and I are Christians. Now, praise the Lord is not "so say we all" from Battlestar Galactica.
We are not just all living in the Handmaid's Tale. Like, what on earth?
Under his eye. Yeah, so much of this movie is like, but as a Christian, no one loves Christ this much and this openly.
Well, no one talks like this, or no one would treat people like this either. Like, they're so, okay, anyway, finish the intro.
Yeah, they're soap opera shitty.
Wait, I like the part where they go, when they choose this is their house.
That's Tommy and Gabby Hundley, who are having a baby.
In my belly.
Indeed. And that's Kel.
Hi.
Kelly.
Hi.
Heck, you want to talk about summer camp stories? We got a few of our own.
Bible camp?
Believe me, it's nothing.
She gives this knowing look at him.
Jimmy and Jesse.
She keeps using her index.
So he introduces two pairs of people, the husband and wife, and the husband and wife are having a baby in my belly. And then this fifth person, whose name is Kelly. And I felt so bad about this character because it was like, oh, she's clearly the predatory single woman in this group, and she's not paired off, and so I don't trust her. Like, immediately.
Because they do that where he like stumbles on like, I know some secrets about her past.
And she the whole time is this kind of like not totally villainous but kind of insidious character who's like trying to get him, I guess. And it just, that's another frustrating thing. I mean, we're talking about now just the church in general, but that like single women are a problem. Or
if
like,
you didn't turn two women against each other, where would a plot be?
Exactly. And like, because she wasn't paired off, we immediately knew she wasn't like safe, you know.
Yeah. And throughout the movie, Kelly's in Mexico. Kelly at no point does anything wrong. And she, at one point when Gretchen Wieners and Paul Wood stop dating, he starts dating Kelly.
I don't know. You'd think that this movie would make at some point, like, it's not a bad thing to be single, but they don't. It's like so clearly not a
bad
good
to be single.
And it's so like a given that Gretchen Wieners just wants to be married. We don't know why. We don't know why she's lonely or anything. It's just like, she just wants to be married, like all women do, you know? And it's a thing that, like, that's not even really the Christian theology half the time. Like, you know, people always cite Paul. Like, he's like, stay single if you need to or whatever.
He said it's better to be single. That being said, so, Caroline is married. And Brock
and
is married.
Listen, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. But, like, it's just what's upsetting about this, too, is, like, Kelly's a problem. We know that Lacey is a problem, too. And we're, like, really hoping that her fix at the end of this is she gets married.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, there's not a scene, but there's a single photo at the very end of the movie that shows Paul Wood proposing to her. Now, what ends up happening, she goes to Mexico. The family finds her Christianity for Dummies book.
Which, I don't know if this destroys the third act for you the way it did for me. The church that they're in is the church front and set that they use on Arrested Development when they go to Mexico.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, in season
because
two.
When I saw when this, I was like, this looks like the fake Mexican town that they use in Arrested Development.
It looks like
that's how phony it
looks
would.
Like what Mexico would be like in a porn parody of Mexico.
Parmesan!
Oh my gosh. Well,
that's
it is absolutely that. With
there's
no
literally
change.
A kid walking around like with a donkey on a rope.
That's sad.
And they
it's
play sad. Like, you know, like stereotypical Mexican music. It's just so awful.
Oh, yeah. The score is like, I mean, that is one part of the movie I will not say is competent. I mean, it's competent. I just disagree with it, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, I disagree
also,
with the score.
Here's another little, like, kind of sexist thing that they managed to slip in there is that Gwyneth shows up to Mexico, like, in a full sundress.
Yeah.
When she knows that they're down there doing a construction mission, like, she knows
that. And then they put her in a dumb t-shirt, and she's a little mad about it.
Yeah, like
is she supposed to be dumb?
Speaking as a woman, we pack outfits for every situation, like, she wouldn't not have, like, any workwear, and two, she wouldn't have shown up. Like, she knew this wasn't a vacation. That was just annoying to me.
Yeah, so it feels like, okay, so is being a non-Christian dumb? But then the Christians are dumb too. Nobody wins. Love doesn't win in this movie.
Are no non-Christians except for her.
Well, we actually don't know if Stephen Tobolowsky.
Yeah, maybe
going
Captain
to heaven
or, Captain Boss is.
He
not.
Might be steering that ship straight to hell.
Oh, because the one
oh,
big
Sea Org.
Twist. Sea Org. One big twist in this movie is her sassy trope black friend at the office turns out to be a Christian, but won't tell
her. For everyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds.
Yeah, this is how she tells her. She just starts reciting Bible verses.
7-8.
Wait, you?
Right under your nose, huh?
What? Pam, I've known you for years, and how did I miss that? And why didn't you say anything through all of this?
Oh, no, it's not my style.
And you don't wear a cross or anything?
Really not my style.
Huh.
I have mixed feelings about this because part of it is weird, like you were saying. Another part of it appreciates this is also an equally valid expression.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Like overtly bringing it up to your friend all the time that you're a Christian.
Especially to like, oh, we're not going to have the quote unquote sassy black friend. She's wearing a gold cross necklace. You know what I mean? Like
it
sidesteps that stuff a little bit. That being said,
still plays right on into it.
At one point she does say, as we're hearing the trailer, don't call me Oprah. So
that was slightly strange to me too, because if they were such good friends over time, like it would have come up, you know, in one way or another, in like a natural way, you know, without her having to be a vote. But so the way she tries to like out herself is by reciting a Bible verse midway through the girl's sentence.
It's
like,
not a secret.
That's not, yeah,
if
it's
friends,
not.
It's not that thing.
Yeah, that's not like, ooh, all Christians, we're a little underground sometimes.
And that is the weird part about this movie. It's the weird part of this movie throughout. It's like either you have to declare yourself a Christian as if you're planting a flag on a damn alien world, or you have to say like, I'm one of the unwashed. I just embrace hell.
I won't tell you to the right moment. Yeah.
Or you're somewhere in between. And you're like, this is what makes me also an equally bad person. Like everyone has to declare at some point.
Yeah.
And the fact that
and in the right way
thing is like, I was baptized and like I believe in Jesus, but like, when's the last time I went to church? Who cares? Like that doesn't preclude me, and that is. It's where the movie starts, but it's also the idea of what Christianity is. It's like, oh, anyone that believes a little bit gets into the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, like, you're
and so
in.
It's like,
come on
what
in.
Are these weird other, like, tridary and secondary layers that we've built up as, like, walls?
Yes.
Like, well, you've got to prove this thing.
Including this friend, who is seems like a nice, rational person and not, like, a cartoon villain like the family. She even is like, well, you're not quite there yet. You know, like, you got a few things to go through to really get it.
Yeah, we can
checklist Christianity?
Yeah.
Like, who is it for?
And I feel like rational, like, good standard Christian would treat her this way and would be so worried about the hoops and so worried about her levels of Christianity. They'd be like, oh, well, welcome to Bible study. Like, you don't have to know the whole Bible, or like, we're not going to try to trap you.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh, you've either memorized the Bible.
Yeah.
Or you're going to burn. Like,
right.
There's no in between. Like,
yeah.
This,
like, no one would treat her like that.
Where are the Christian films that acknowledge the in between of like, well, what if, like, I'm a good person, but maybe I slept with some people in college?
Yeah,
like,
or I'm a Christian, and I'm, like, figuring it out.
Yeah.
Maybe you're listening to the first Christian movie that's doing that.
We are in production.
Hashtag not yet perfected. I would star in a movie with you. I would do it.
Oh, thanks, Kevin. Yeah, well, let's start accepting all the offers we've been getting.
Well, last episode we established we're going to release an EP.
Yeah.
This episode we've established.
I don't remember that.
No, we said we're going to put on EP. Oh, no, you said you're going to do it with your husband instead.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
T and Simp EP.
T and Simp EP.
EP, yeah.
Get it.
It's a Jars of Clay song.
Oh.
Jars of Clay!
I don't listen to that.
At this point, we're just antagonizing your neighbors. I'm so sorry for what tonight has become. We're not going to play
very
the game.
Nice.
Do you think it was ever confusing when Dan Hasseltine would go to Jay Leno's garage because it was Jars of Clay looking at Cars of Jay? Do you think that?
So anyway, at the end of this movie, go to Mexico.
You're my best friend.
Yeah. No, you can just talk to me again. Sometimes we do this. You and I just kind of have
come
like
on, man.
It's good to hear nothing but you right now.
Track with me.
I can also weirdly hear Demi. It's so strange that that's happening.
there's a heavy question in Mexico.
Maria wanted to know why, if God loves us so much, he let happen to their village what happened. If God is love, why did he let this happen?
She's talking
to
Gwyneth.
Well, that is a
Gwyneth.
Very good question, Maria. And not an easy one to answer, but I know there are many wonderful answers in here.
She sounds like Lennon Parham and Veep right now.
She sounds like Kristen Bell.
not a time for
James
a joke.
James 1, either. Verses 7 through 8.
James 1, verses 7 through 8.
I think that addresses it beautifully, don't you?
Yes, that is exactly what I was thinking. You are exactly right. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Hermanos míos, considerense muy...
Oh, then that's Kelly saying Spanish.
Freaking Kelly.
They Spanish-shamed Gretchen Wieners when it's like, she didn't claim to know Spanish. It's okay that she doesn't know Spanish.
But it was upsetting when, toward the end of the movie, on her like little end story where she's a teacher in Mexico,
I guess she still
doesn't speak any Spanish.
Yeah. Sure, we'll fill this in here. Everyone finds out down there because of her Christ for Dummies book.
Right, real quick, before we recap that, I do want to say that Morgan Fairchild verse that she quoted, James 1, 7 through 8, is... That person, I'm just reading straight out the NIV translation. It's that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do.
Whoa.
Which is really intense.
That is intense. Huh.
So, and before we start recapping the end, we do want to play. This is when Gretchen Wieners has been broken up with. She is single now. But she receives a letter in the mail. She receives a letter in the mail from that same girl in Mexico that asked her
said
question.
Please don't do this.
So,
I'm begging you not to do this.
I just want to play the voiceover real
Please
quick.
Please don't.
Dear senorita, my sorry for my English not so good. I want to say hi. And thank you very much for
doing very well.
San Luis, my village. It looks so pretty again. Almost like it was before. It is like what you taught us in school. When bad things happened, God made us stronger.
She didn't
Just
teach
like
him
made
that.
Our new church stronger.
She didn't say that
I
at once.
I make a photograph of it for you. It looked beautiful. It is beautiful. Sorry again for my English. I hope you like the photograph.
There's very Hillsong music in the background.
You, Maria.
Her accent is the accent that Natalie Wood uses in West Side Story. A movie from the 60s.
Oh, my God.
It's exactly that.
I was going for the weird Russian thing earlier today, but you're right.
Yeah.
Yours is much closer.
So
oh, my God.
Yeah, that's about right. So,
I don't know.
It's this letter that spurns on Gwyneth. I realize we've used three separate names to refer to the lead
Gwyneth
character.
Gwyneth Lacy and
Gretchen Wieners.
And, of course, as her father calls her, disappointment.
Oh, no. She's doing fine.
She's okay. So then she goes... She's teaching in the school at the end in Mexico. She's finally fulfilling. I guess she's left the advertising job, which again, would love to just never
did
think
you,
about or
did
talk
you
about.
Did you miss the scene where her boss refuses to hear her say the words out loud because it makes it real?
Yep.
I forgot that.
Tobolowsky.
Block that
out.
Yeah,
it's a solid 10 minutes of just like, don't do what we're doing here.
It's really? Not longer than the silence with which Paul would chew sushi for a good 20 to 30 seconds.
I don't know what this is.
Feisch? Do you say, is it Feisch? Is that how you say
so
it?
So then Paul shows up, his hair all akimbo a la Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man 3. He's hey, I'm cool now.
You're right. It's emo Spider-Man 3.
Right?
I think it's supposed to be like, it's later in time. His hair grew out, which looks like weirdly sloppy.
Which right before this happens, there's just like a bottom title thing. That says, next Christmas, which Christmas in Mexico, where a guy who has just been cruel to her with no repercussions for months on end and then disappeared, just shows back up and shoves a tongue down her throat, and she's like, I just love to be not alone
now, like, what, it was 2 days later. This was like a year later. She'd be so over him, so mad at him.
What I thought was gonna happen is that it would be a La La Land situation.
Oh, and they just like, that's what I was kind of like,
where it's
okay,
like,
good.
Oh, you know, he was good for that time, but
and they don't
actually,
end up together.
The true definition of maturity is like, oh, maybe sometimes people are just good for different seasons, and it's okay. It's not failure if it doesn't work out.
I like both of you and what you thought was going to be there. Like, what if he was a stepping stone? Like, that's such a humane, human thing.
If she met someone more like, and I was thinking, what if she met someone in her church or someone in Mexico? Like, essentially, what if she met like a cool person of color and ended up with them instead?
No.
And so it closes with this monologue.
I used to think I knew it all.
No.
I had all the answers.
No,
and
you
I could
didn't.
Spin a lie with the best of them.
You never thought that.
Now I'm pretty sure I don't know anything. Except Jesus is there for us. All we have to do is call his name. And Mr. Right, he's there too. You just have to reach into your heart and discover what's true.
The bigger, more human adult point is that, like, if you're going to make these movies, if you're going to make these Christian movies, if you're going to try and, like, bridge some sort of gap that actually does something, start making movies about actual human beings that exist.
Yeah.
Because there's not a person in this film that has ever resembled a person living or dead in any semblance at all.
Yeah, so
pick somebody.
It's a church skit. It's not like a real story.
It
you
is.
Know?
This
it's
is a Hell House
a moral
skit.
Play. Yeah.
This is a thing to scare people away from somebody.
Which is fine if that's like what you're saying we're doing. Like, we're here to do a moral play. We're here to do this for our friends at church. But
it's
no,
Corbin
you came
Burnson,
here.
And you're like,
yeah.
You've been in all these
Come on,
films.
Psych.
Come
Give
on,
us a little more.
Come on, Dad Psych.
Yeah, Daddy
like, just
Psych.
Try a little harder, write a little harder, and make this like some 3D people instead. You
yeah,
know?
So it sounds like we're transitioning to our final thoughts. Now, the way this works, Brock, is
yeah.
we're going to give this movie a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Sure.
In the form of by the power of the Holy Ghost, we give it a holy roast or a holy toast. Holy toast.
I love you so much. I'm going to miss you so much.
Aw, you
Your
too,
face
buddy.
Is so pretty.
Brock's sadly moving away, yeah. but...
Oh, I'll be around all the time.
Okay, cool. We
I'm going to own you.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Holy toast, thumbs up. We're sending it to heaven. Heaven bound. Holy roast, thumbs down. We're sending it to hell forever.
I was expecting the same sound clip for both.
Caroline, we'll start with you.
This movie had like some
oh my god, there's so
some
much
minor
pressure on you.
Points of delight, some minor points that were like, okay, I thought Lacey Chabert was great. I thought she tried. But I didn't really like this because usually commercials are about 30 seconds long.
Oh my god.
And this was about an hour and a half.
Ooh.
Yeah, I just think overall the message that they were trying to get across is really regressive and is kind of damaging and is playing into this bad thing in Christianity that I'm hoping we're moving past, you know, that you need to be married to be happy, that's the only good ending. I know this is a rom-com, but if you're going to put a religion in it, like, make it match. And so because of that, this movie gets a holy roast.
Holy roast from Caroline. Brock.
There's such potential here, and it's not a bad film. And it tries to do some of the right things, but my God, it is, for something made in 2014, it feels like it was written 20 damn years ago.
I agree.
Based on the politics of what it is. And it's a functional movie. It's not like so many podcasts I get to do where we're just like, hey, the lighting doesn't match up and no one here is even the same actor scene by scene. Like, it's fine. It's a fine film. And there was an idea here and this concept of like doing like genre films for Christian stuff. There is a damage that is done here. And this is the thing that I think I rail against now with everything that I've had with religion in my life is, it is possible to be a religious person and to do good and to be sexually active and to be smart and to be part of a modern world. And there are very few pop culture examples of that thing crossing
yeah.
over. And this thing doesn't forward that. And it had such potential too, because it's like, hey, what if just two people met on a dating app? And the thing but that was existing between them was that there was like, well, this religious thing didn't match up. And then she puts in the effort to do it, or at least to meet halfway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would have been fine. And then just to be like, well, hey, I don't maybe think that, you know, these seals have to be broken in order for the last klaxon to sound. There's got to be a fine line between those things. And until Christian, like, entertainment can find that line, it'll just keep making weird propaganda stuff that
yeah.
that steers people away. And this is so close to a competent, good, interesting film that carries the potential of like bringing people in. And then once every 20 minutes it's like, well, what if we just kept making fun of this girl because like she doesn't know every verse of the Bible. like a like a whore.
It just kind of follows like lockstep into
exactly
what a Christian should be and how this movie should work.
Yeah. Why not make a Christian film where like people can just be people and also like humans can be humans, and it misses that mark. So it's a thumbs down from me.
A holy roast from Brock Wilbur. Well, guys, I might be going a different way here. No, I'm not. It's a holy.
Ooh, I was kind of excited. I wanted to hear it.
No, because even like I think it, because Fireproof, I do feel like had the camp value of like, yeah, get some friends together and watch it, have a laugh. But this is, maybe you can do it. But even on that level, I feel like it's a little, it misses the, because it's not bad enough where it's like, can you believe it? Like some of the.
No, absolutely not.
Some of the in dating stuff in the sushi, it's like, yeah, we don't need it. But I think for the, you know, the minor merits and the kind of, you know, freedom of expression and the different choices that you can have within a religion to do this path or do this path within it and celebrating that, that positive point notwithstanding, it still gets a holy roast from me. So that is a unanimous roast. I'm sorry, Christian Mingle. We're sending you to hell.
Sorry.
Now, that's our opinion. We want to hear your opinion. So on our Twitter, at Christian Fun Pod.
I just remembered something.
What's that?
A miracle happened.
Okay.
God opened a door.
Okay.
And Kevin is on Christian Mingle. So if you want to find him, Kevin T. Porter is a profile on Christian Mingle. And
did you just turn off the recorder?
No.
Don't censor us when we're right about
you.
No,
I'm not.
He's looking for love. His interests are dancing, movies, and photography, I think is what God put down.
I got an interesting email
not
today.
Me.
Us married nightmares are just going to roast Kevin forever.
Okay, I looked at Caroline
made me. No, I'm not trying to catfish anybody or anything like that. Caroline, you can shut it down later.
Caroline made me a profile on Christian Mingle.
Loaves and catfishes.
But the profile picture is a picture of me dabbing.
Which I think is the purest form
no,
of you.
No, it's not.
You do it so much.
Wait, there's a picture of him dabbing?
Yeah, I'll show it to you.
Whatever. Okay.
That, no, no, not whatever.
No, but I'm just...
So anyway, just like, praise God and miracles happen, so...
Praise God, miracles happen.
Connect on Christian Mingle.
Keep those promises, promise keepers.
We're going to have to talk later, Caroline. But for now...
This is the best night.
If you've seen Christian Mingle and you want to vote on it, we got a poll, a little poll on our Twitter. We'll keep up for the next 7 days where you can give it a holy roast or a holy toast. So why don't you go ahead and just...
Pokemon, go to the polls.
We'll be right back with a little more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of... taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like,
as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good
going,
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree. First month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun.
Here we go. So, because of our extended conversation about Christian Mingle, we're going to put the second segment on ice for this week. We'll have a second segment next week.
But Thank God I was real worried about what a game was. I've played a Christian game once, but that was in the woods.
No, it's the same thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Kevin, that was so fast. Kevin, that was the fastest joke response I've ever.
But for tonight, Brock, we're not here to promote ourselves and seek the approval of man. That's not what we do on this show. But we are here to lift it up. And by lift it up, I mean our social media handles.
Oh my God.
Things that
what we're is wrong with you?
Enjoying in secular culture, apart from this wild, wild world of pop culture, Christianity. So, Caroline, we'll start with you. What do you want to lift up today?
I'd like to lift up Kevin Porter on Christian Mingle.
No.
please check him out and make sure he gets a lot of
drag him
messages. No.
Drag in his name.
A lot of burns.
What? On Christian
Mingle?
No,
don't burn him.
Please,
encourage him.
I'm a sensitive young man. I don't know how much time I got.
This week, I would like to lift up marzipan, the candy. Gosh, it's good. I had some the other day because one of my coworkers went to Germany and came back with it.
And just to be clear, this isn't marzipan, the character from Homestar Runner.
Correct. This is marzipan, the food.
Marzipan.
It's made.
Okay.
Made from an almond paste. Good stuff. Get it up.
All right. Behind lift it up, almond paste marzipan. And Brock, we'll go to you. What do you want to lift up?
I have a book coming out called Postal from the Boss Fight book series, co-written with Nathan Rabin.
Yeah.
Ignore that. Lift up the fact that our country is on fire. Find some people around you and just help the fuck out, please. You can always tell when somebody needs a hug. That's a very basic start. You can also tell when somebody needs to just, like, get drunk and watch a movie. Grab a couple of friends. Do something fun this week. No one remembers what fun is like anymore. We have completely lost it in 2017. The ability to reconnect with yourself as a human being after just doing a fun, stupid, dumb thing is so invaluable, and it takes an invitation from somebody else. Please do it. Please just invite somebody to watch the worst movie you can find on Netflix and have a good night.
And where can people lift up your social media?
You're my worst friend.
I think it's at Brock Wilbur on Twitter.
Thank you.
Lord, if you could also cover my now asshole looking lifting up session. And forgive me.
And you can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter on Instagram and Twitter.
All of you can lift up Kevin. He weighs 90 pounds. It's fine.
Hug Kevin at Kevin T. Porter.
Okay. Give me a good old hug. Oh. I want to lift up the music in Lives and Legacies of Sharon Jones and Charles Bradley. Charles Bradley, we unfortunately lost a few weeks ago. Both of these amazing soul singers that started their careers very late in the game when they were at an older age than most people. Sharon Jones in her 50s, Charles Bradley in his 60s. They both passed away of cancer in the last year, I think, both within a year or two. And they have some amazing music, so go listen to that. They're so good. They're so, so good.
And marzipan.
And marzipan.
The candy.
In the country.
Darn it.
And you can lift us up on all of our social media platforms at Christian Fun Pod on Twitter and Instagram. You can email us at Good Christian Fun. You can also check out every song featured on this show on our Good Christian Fun Spotify playlist. Our Spotify playlist. And yeah, that's kind of the long and short of it. Brock, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me
on this show.
Thank you, Brock.
And let's close it out the way we always close it out. But this time, let's do it to the tune of the unofficial Christian Mingle theme song. And all of Pod's people said,
Amen.
Want to fall in love with you. I want to fall in love with you. I want to fall.
I'll sing the lyric I used to sing when I was a kid.
All monkeys love to throw their poo.
Horny Kevin.
See, he collects antique cars. And he has a lot of them because he made a lot of money on The Tonight Show.
This has been good for me.
Take There's out like your a lot of royalties.
Turn off the podcast.
Turn off God.
Yay! What happens when a quintet of smiley, shiny white kids tackles the uncrowded territory of Christian teen pop? Next week on GCF, we're listening to Jump 5.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.